All right, this is how we wrap up our Friday afternoon together around here. It's Talking Travel with our travel guide, Sally Lucas, who are preparing to take us on a trip to a whole myriad of countries today. Sally, and why?
Why indeed. These are considered, and I mightn't get through all of them, but 20 of the safest countries for women to travel in alone. But having said that, I think that could apply to everybody, mm-hmm. not just women. But of course, there's a lot more women travelling in women's only groups now. So I just thought it was a good point to touch on.
The 20 safest countries for ladies, and in brackets for everybody, around the world. Sally, yes. Who's at the top of the list?
Well, top of the list, according to this survey, or one of the ones very close to the top of the list, is our little friends across the ditch, New Zealand. And it's got a score of 90 on Travel Safe Abroad Safety Index, which is both great, but we all know it's got stunning scenery as well. I mean, it really has, particularly the South Island. I guess that's my favourite. It's the bigger of the two, of course. But, yeah, I mean, it, like anywhere, though, when you travel as a female, is that minimise your valuables that you take with you. Don't wear jewellery. And if you're out somewhere having a drink, don't accept drinks from someone you don't know. Buy your own.
Kind of sounds like a straightforward information, but always good to have it reinforced.
Yeah. And, of course, a lot of the other countries that are quite safe for women are in the Scandinavian area, like, you know, Denmark, of course. And it's a lovely place to travel, very low crime rate there, as with Sweden. And, again, you know, beautiful scenery, all of these places. Norway is, yeah, stunning. Iceland, you know, you can't imagine much going wrong in Iceland, can you?
No, wouldn't think so.
Very small population. So Ireland even got in there as one of the safest. Another one which is interesting is Botswana in Africa. Now, Botswana is a really... Oh, interesting part of the African continent, because if you go there, you'll see most of the animals you'll want to see, but in greater quantities.
Oh, that's a huge win.
So whether it's elephants, whether it's hippos, rhinos, you know, whatever it is. So it's a very popular destination for safari tours, one of the tops. And it's actually, by the United States, believe it or not, has currently given it a level one travel advisory, which indicates low security risks, etc. I mean, obviously, you know, you don't want to be knocked out of your canoe by a hippo or something.
Oh, no, definitely not. I mean, those things, they're one of the surprising beasts, aren't they? They're one of the big killers.
Well, they are the biggest.
Yeah.
Actually, it's not your lions, you know, your tigers, your rhinos or whatever. And how many people do you know have been killed by a giraffe? They are just gorgeous. I love giraffes. I fell in love with them when I was over there. So elegant. Just the way they walk, you know, it's just this casual, even though they can run, you know, reasonably fast over short distances, they've got such an elegant look about them. It's just amazing. So Botswana, yes. Canada. So, and Canada, I find the Canadians and Australians are very similar in our outlook and how we live our life. We're both very outdoorsy sort of people, very friendly, very outgoing. You know, they have a very different lifestyle to their cousins next door. It's considered the eighth safest country for women to travel alone in, whereas the States is down to 32.
Mm.
You know, so again, anywhere you go, don't travel with an aura or a halo around you, like a lot of people seem to do. Like, really think about your valuables. Think about not taking any except the ones you need. Obviously, your passport, your money, your credit card, your phone, which can become your camera, your computer and everything these days if you want. So you can limit now how much you have to take with you. In the old days, you'd have three cameras strung over your shoulder, one for the the long range, one for the close-up, the panoramic, and then you'd have your calculator to work out your currency and work out how much you're getting for your traveller's checks. And, you know, so things have changed
so
much.
It's a wonder anybody wanted to travel, really, when you think when all of that was, you know, the norm.
It was,
though. It doesn't sound very, you know, like fun.
No. And they should have been giving us extra luggage allowance back then.
There you go.
I think they should be giving us less now and more back then.
No, don't give them ideas.
I know.
I'll take it off you.
Exactly. So, yeah, there's just some. But also Portugal is another one where they're considered quite safe as well. And, of course, the Portuguese, again, are really friendly people, and a lot of them do speak English because they've always had a strong tie with Britain. You know, over the years for all sorts of different reasons, but lovely country, great food, beautiful beaches, and you look at, have you seen some of those photos of the surf?
Yeah, amazing stuff.
How big? 50-foot waves rolling in off the Atlantic if you're there at the right time of the year. Oh, I think I'd be just terrified even watching.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing stuff.
So we're not going to get you out on a wide glider just having a go, are we? It's not going to happen?
No, you can have me a flight above it. Show me from above.
Fair enough.
Is that all right?
We'll do that. That's fine.
All right. Okay, so we can continue. Chile is considered the second safest South American country, so that's good to know as well. And it's the longest and narrowest country in the world, Chile.
Yeah, it sounds about right.
Yeah, and it's very diverse in its geography, of course, because you've got, you know, you've got the deserts, you've got volcanoes, you've got glaciers, you've got vineyards. It's just an amazing country in its own right, and some lovely wines there as well, as does Argentina. Beautiful, beautiful wines in those there, lovely wine-growing districts. And just their wow or their look on life, I guess, with a lot of South American countries is very, again, relaxed. It's all about having a good time, enjoyment, dancing, music, you know, all of those lovely things in life as well as outdoors as well. So, so we've got quite a few there. Got a few to go, though.
Today, having a look at some of the safest countries in the world, you've gone part of the way through the list. Who's next?
Who's next? Austria is another lovely, and that is, again, it's only a small country, but a very pretty country. I remember going to Innsbruck a few years ago, and it was much smaller. I don't know why I had a vision of Innsbruck being a much larger city. They've had Winter Olympics there, etc. But what a quaint, gorgeous town with some of the most beautiful old buildings I'd ever seen, and churches, and it's just delightful. It's really beautiful. The mountains, as you can imagine, because you're bordering on Switzerland and Germany, and it's just stunning. And I don't think you'd be too surprised to find Switzerland on the list as well. It's well known, you know, as a really peaceful country, and it ranks really high in terms of safety as well. I mean, I guess the main thing you have to worry about in some of these countries if you're a skier is avalanches.
That's true. Hey, Switzerland's also safe for your money.
Yes.
Yeah, those Swiss banks.
Bank accounts. Absolutely, Mark. Yeah, your Swiss bank account. We mentioned Iceland, of course. I've said that. And, of course, it's quite fantastic when you think about here's this country that's mainly all ice, but it has this incredible volcano on it still as well, which is just incredible, and very low population. Japan, again, and it's just the flavour of the month at the moment. Just about every second person seems to be going to Japan. But of course, over the years, it's become a less expensive country to travel, which I think that's what's made a lot of difference as well. It used to be we didn't get a good value to the yen, but we are now, and they've got their rail system is just second to none. And to travel around on a rail pass throughout Japan, whether it's second or first class, it's just unbelievable.
And that's one thing they've had for so long. Fantastic rail, you know, the bullet train, and all of that. But if we're now getting that better conversion rate, your dollar goes further, so it becomes more attractive. Hence, as you said, everybody either has or is about to go.
Yeah, and the size of the cities, like, I think it's just amazing. The thing is now, because of the advent of this, you've got to remember that any of these large cities, it's going to be crowded. So it'd be nice to get off the beaten track a bit and stay at some of the famous onsens, or where you've got those beautiful pools and hot springs, and, you know, just get out and do the bit of the countryside stuff, not just the major cities, because they're just massive.
They really are. And if you're just walking around the concrete jungle, I mean, you can do that a couple of hours south if you want. Like, look at some of the real treasures that are there.
Yep, and they're there. They're there. That's the whole thing. Uruguay in South America, which is just across the river from Argentina, is also considered it's one of the most visited nations in the South American continent. But it, again, has got this laid-back pace and rustic charm about it. It's quite an interesting country to visit. Mauritius, which is on the way to South Africa, of course, it's a lovely country. You've got the Creole food. You've got that mixture of Creole, French, Portuguese. It's a real potpourri of lovely food, lovely beaches, beautiful beaches, and lovely inland scenery there. Off air, we were just talking about Taiwan, and Taiwan comes in there as well. And I didn't realise, I was just talking to Mark, I knew it was small, but it's apparently only half the size of Tassie. And you think about that, that's a tiny, tiny country that packs in so much beautiful gorges and lakes, and as well as having its obviously cities, and it's got a lovely ancient city there to go to as well. And of course, amazing food, like a lot of the Asian food is, you know, you get some quite amazing food tastes. Slovenia Now, there you go. There's one you might not have thought of, but it's so photogenic because you've got – it was one originally once part of Yugoslavia, like a lot of these countries were, until they all broke up and became separate countries like Serbia, Croatia, Montenegro, etc. And you've got some wonderful lakes and mountains and sceneries there as well in that sort of Balkan area of Slovenia. In Asia, Singapore, and it's always had a good safety factor. As long as I've worked in travel, it's always been considered one of those very safe countries to visit as well.
Consistency is always the key, isn't it? I mean, it's fine to get on a list, but if in this case a country is just consistently being considered there, I mean, that longevity of, you know, opinion.
Yes, you're going to feel great. And, of course, it's so famous for its incomparable street food. So, you know, you're really going to enjoy that as well. I mean, there's probably a lot more, but I just thought, as I said earlier, it's not just women as well. Of course, it's anybody who's travelling. You want to make sure that you're going to a country that you feel safe going to, but do your homework with your travel agent or with DFAT, you know, online, the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade. Just check and see if there's any alerts out for any countries before you go there, and whether they'll always err on the side of caution. They're always going to say, oh, you know, don't go unless you have to,
sure.
If it's a real problem. But, you know, just discuss with your travel agent if you're not sure and say, look, what is really happening? Is there a risk of me travelling here? Am I going to be safe? Make sure you take out adequate insurance is the main thing. And shop around for that too, Mark, because it's gone up exponentially since COVID. Travel insurance, it's become really, really expensive, but you still can't go without it.
Oh, I think you'd be silly to. But people, I mean, people do.
I know. And it's mainly the young ones who always think there's nothing's going to happen to me, whereas the older generation think, no, something can happen to me and could, so I'll take it.
Well, I mean, imagine you just go to somewhere where, say, going to hospital is a little bit X-y. Across to the US, I'll slip over and hit your head on the
US,
floor, you're in trouble. You know?
Yeah, that's what I mean. It doesn't have to be even something horrible like a crime or but just where you happened to a client of mine, she just fell over in the gutter accidentally. Her foot went the wrong way. Business class had to come home, business class, you know, from the States. It's the only way they could get a leg up and, you know, then all the costs. And then they wouldn't let her leave the hospital in America until she could prove she had the travel insurance that was adequate to cover the cost of that insurance bill. Because you're looking at sometimes in these places, it's 3 and 4 times the cost of here, even though we might think we're being ripped off. It's even higher in lots of other countries. So the main thing is to make sure you've got adequate medical protection and enough for repatriation if you have to come back home. You know, in a severe situation medically where you need that extra space or extra seating to be able to fly home.
Ironically, probably the only time she ever got to fly business class too.
It probably was. It probably didn't even enjoy it. No, or not as much as she could have anyway.
We are hanging and banging with Sally Lucas today as part of Talking Travel. And Sally, as always, plenty of hot deals to wrap up the week.
Plenty. So we were talking today about safe destinations for women. Well, Insight Tours, which has been operating tours to Europe for many years, but also around the world, for 2025, for the first time, they're operating small group women-only tours, which is fantastic. So, and they've got a special offer at the moment where you can save 8% if you want to get in and book early. They're going to 11 different areas. We're all around the world, from North Africa to South America and just about everywhere in between, India, Nepal, Scandinavian countries, Italy, Portugal, Morocco, you name it. There's a whole gamut of wonderful itineraries. So, yeah, for the ladies out there, like whether you're single, whether you're widowed, whether you have a husband or a partner who just doesn't want to travel overseas anymore. There's all sorts of reasons why, you know, women often have to travel on their own. And it's nice to go with like-minded people, I think. And so, yeah, I think this is fantastic that we've got this range of itineraries that are available from next year. So for all you ladies out there.
All I heard was 2025 and freaked out. it's not far away.
It's only next year, Mark. It's only next year.
What, 9 months?
Yeah.
Not even.
A bit. Closer to home, if you want to do the Kimberley, there's a lovely fly and explore the Kimberley package at the moment with savings of up to $6,000 per person, which is quite amazing when you think about it. Limited vacancies for this year available on the Coral Cruises, which the Coral Adventure or the Coral Geographer, and you have a beautiful deluxe balcony stateroom, and there's just selected dates where you can still get these discounts. So if you're still thinking of going to the Kimberley this year, that can be done. Also, now there is a new vessel turning up on the Murray River. And I'd still love to do that. I think it'd be fascinating to do. It'd be so leisurely and so relaxing. You could really switch off. Now, these are out of Echuca, and you can do anything, like anything from a 4 to 5 day to an 8 day return voyage across this new vessel called Australian Star. And they've got some wonderful savings of up to $1,000 per couple on the 8 day departures. This is, again, we're looking at 25, 26. Sorry, Mark.
Oh, dear. But 2026?
It's good to plan early. And up to $500 per couple on the shorter durations. So these are just new itineraries that have just been released. I guess it takes some time to find the right vessel, to do it up, to refurbish it, have it all ready to go, you know. So these things do take time.
And it just falls into what you say so often, you just got to plan early.
Yes.
You just have to.
You do. Now, APT also, this is their last chance for 2024 for savings of thousands of dollars across every destination, but it ends 26 March. So anything that APT has, there is still rebate available. Again, limited vacancies for this year. So there you go. We've got one for this year, Mark.
Excellent.
Now,
two if you count the Kimberley from before.
Well, that's sorry. Yes, you're counting. I'm not. Good on you.
See, it's two for our side.
Now, also, you've got some wonderful, awe-inspiring small ship expeditions with a maximum only 132 passengers with Aurora Expeditions, who have got discounts across the selected voyages of their 2024-25 season. Okay, which an air credit of $2,000 per person and up to 20% off select voyages over that area. So that's another one you can keep in mind, and it's just subject to availability until sold out. There's lots of other discounts available with different companies, Ponant, the French, Viking, Explorer. A lot of these finish towards the end of March, just to get the last minute, you know, ones for this year and into early next year. Because lots of the ones for this year are already full, as you just mentioned, Mark. Mm. Yes, book early. That's just all we can say all the time lately. Things have changed since before COVID. You've got to book earlier than you ever used to. So just keep that in mind when you're planning a holiday.
All right, job for the weekend. Sally, as always, a pleasure. We'll let you get off. You're going to escape yourself over the weekend, haven't you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Birthday. And I celebrate mine for about 2 weeks. I reckon it's only fair.
Not too bad for a 32-year-old lady. All right,
Sally. Oh, yeah, thanks.
As always, a pleasure, Sally. We'll catch
thanks,
you next
Mark.
Week.
Will do.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from 2NURFM at the University of Newcastle. You'll find them all at 2NURFM.com.